All right, Vikings get it going for sort of real this weekend. Are we ready? Are we ready? I think so. Minnesota's always ready for Vikings season. This year, I feel like there's maybe a little more intrigue than normal because we don't quite know what we're going to get with our new quarterback. Alec Lewis is... Are you still out there at training camp? You were at training camp today.
Yeah, I put on deodorant this morning, but by standing out there for multiple hours, it's subsided. I'm sitting here. I told Dan I'm trying to write a story. The words aren't coming. I got to record a podcast. And we are ready for Vikings football. this is a good time.
Is it, for you, for a writer, is it fun, these sort of longer, thoughtful pieces that you do when you're sort of making it up? Like, we're kind of making it up right now, right? Like, until you play the first down, we don't know what any of this is going to happen.
Yeah, it's I'd say it goes both ways. There's part of me that is just pumped to be back. Around a group of people that have got to know as well as I have and get to spend time with them every day and get to watch football, this game that I love, to get to do this job that I wanted to do when I was 15 years old. So there's that part of me. And then there's also the part of me where it is, it's just like, what am I seeing that actually matters? I was telling somebody earlier, I went back and read a story that I wrote from last training camp in Cleveland during joint practices where Sam Darnold and the offense looked miserable. And if you went back and read it, you'd think, man, that Vikings team, they must have lost 15 games. Well, no, as a matter of fact, they did not. They won 14 games. And so it's just that balance of just trying to calibrate how much of what I'm seeing is actually important also knowing you got to feed the beast. It's one of those that's the challenge, but that's the job.
That's what it is. So you do have a podcast called The Alec Lewis Show, and people can read you in The Athletic, and I want to talk to you about really this fantastic and incredibly geeky story that you did, breaking down the trickery and the creativity and the magic of Brian Flores' defense. But as you get ready to record your podcast now, I know you're doing like Q&A from Vikings fans. Are most of the questions about J.J. McCarthy, or what are the hardcore fans really asking you about?
Oh, yeah. It's J.J. McCarthy. How's he looking? Should we be gravely concerned? Do we think we're going to the Super Bowl? Which of those sides of the aisle do I land on it? And to give you a sneak peek, the answer is this. J.J. McCarthy, and he would probably tell you this exact same thing. Throughout training camp, since we started, it's been up and down. There haven't been amazing highs. There haven't been just such discouraging lows. It's been a lot of in the middle, some good, some bad. It's not that surprising for a 22-year-old coming back from a torn meniscus without Justin Jefferson and with an offensive line that is still kind of getting back against the defense with the front seven that is beyond what the Vikings have had in recent years. So that's where things start, but it was fun to nerd out over the defense, that's for sure.
So let's talk about this, because the Vikings defense, and you've gotten a lot of buzz for this story, deservedly so, because I think it's so detailed. It really gets into the trickery. But I, of course, was more captivated by the human side of this and the way that Brian Flores sort of convenes this defense think tank. Because I got to be honest, I think the way that football players are portrayed, generally speaking, is that these guys aren't necessarily the Mensa captains of the world. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, it's absolutely right. And that's where, part of this story, and I wrote it with one of our staff writers, Ted Nguyen, who is, talk to anybody in the business about as good of a film analysis person as there is. And really, like, I got with Ted and I'm like, look, you know this stuff at a level that I hope to one day, but I probably never will. And I like writing words that are big, and that's just how I am. So what if we collabed on Brian Flores' defense, which has had a great training camp and has been really good, in recent years. And we kind of centered on, I mean, it's a story about Brian Flores, but you're exactly right. And the most interesting aspect of to me is, like, I don't think enough credit is given to these players on this defense specifically for their mental bandwidth to be able to handle all that they handle before game day, and then on game day, their ability to adapt on the fly. Like, it is a mental challenge as much as anything else. When you are disguising and moving on the front and playing seven different coverages, like, you have to know all of that and be able to react in a 40-second span to show it in real time. So it's the whole thing is pretty fascinating. But I'm glad you said that, because I generally just don't think we put enough into the, like, mental stress and preparation that goes into this thing every weekend.
Because what's happening, and for a casual fan, and you'll hear sometimes if you're watching a game or if you're listening on the radio, you'll hear conversation about, like, oh, like, this defense is always, there's a lot of trickery. But so what that means, you sort of lay it out where you'll set up and you'll line up in something that looks like a man-to-man, and then there's sort of a change. Like, right after the snap, you kind of, then you go into a certain type of zone, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And then they know what they've shown in the past and changed into in the past. And so this time, when you think they're going to change into something, they change into something totally something else. Yeah. So Brian Flores said, my favorite quote in this story, he said, "We've built a reputation on disguise. So what they see, they don't think it is what it is. And sometimes what they see is what it is." And sometimes the disguise, I mean, he just, this quote is him kind of probably messing with defensive coordinators who might read this, or excuse me, offensive coordinators trying to read this to find some kind of tells. And it is as nitty gritty as not just like where they line up and where they finish, but how their shoulder is positioned as they line up compared to another snap. It's that level of
detail. I was shocked. That blew me away. Like, I was shocked at how sort of seemingly minor some of these adjustments are, right? But it works, because every player, these players today, the way the analytics that are out there, the data, the tape, the isolation, these guys have way more information than any player had 10 years ago, right?
So it's unbelievable.
So if you're gonna disguise, it's 10 times the work, and you need the players to go with you. I was impressed also at sort of the sessions where players throw out ideas, and you think, like, wow, that's pretty cool too.
Yeah, absolutely. The funny thing is, and I'm just thinking about this as we're talking, like, this story is building up their disguising strategies, and part of me wonders if, with the personnel they've added specifically on the front, like, maybe they just – now, Brian Flores is never just going to shut it all off, because that's just not how his brain works. But they have – the thing about it is they have built this defense now with money that they have because they have a quarterback on a rookie contract. Yeah. They have built this defense to where the talent specifically on the front seven – gives them so much more capability, you know, the ability to play more general in a way that they just haven't in past years. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this defense performs if players stay healthy and if this front seven is as dominant as a lot of people around here think.
Wouldn't the ultimate move be just now this season, no trickery, like, you just do exactly what you lined up to do?
Yeah, I mean, it would be the ultimate move. But again, Brian Flores,
not happening.
This guy, like, he's, I think he's on the sideline antsy. Like, if we don't send seven guys because I'm just bored, then, what will be interesting is Saturday, so in 2 days, which I have no idea what day it is, but Saturday, when the Vikings play the Texans, sometimes in these preseason games, Flores is just showing nothing. It'll be interesting to see, I guess, for me, maybe not like normal people who don't care about a preseason game, how much he's actually showing on Saturday.
Alec Lewis from The Athletic is with us. How much do we think we'll see of J.J. McCarthy on Saturday, 3 o'clock against the Texans?
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't have any intel on it. I haven't even asked. Part of I told somebody, like, part of me just wants to experience it the way that everybody else will, where you're like, that's the curiosity and the question, and we all find out together. I'd say, like, I'd be pretty surprised in some way if he.
None of you guys out there have asked this question. You just want to experience it. What is happening with the sports writers of the Twin Cities?
Yeah, I don't know. I'd be pretty surprised if he plays the whole first half.
Yeah.
Now he might. I'd say, like, I would probably peg it around a certain number of drives, maybe like two or three drives
Makes
a quarter.
Sense, yeah.
That feels most fair. But yeah, I'm off the rails.
Obviously. I mean, we don't want him to get hurt, but like, the guy has to play. Like, I mean, he's got to get some snaps for sure. Last question. You know, we knew Jordan Addison was going to be suspended. He is suspended for the first three games of the season. What is the team sort of, I guess, what's the plan?
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, look, this was a long process that began last summer after he got arrested for the second time. The team had prepared.
They knew.
The team had been preparing for months that this was probably going to come down from the NFL. And so, I mean, it's a very good question of they're not going to have him for the first 3 weeks. He's not going to be in the building the first week, and then he can practice and be in training camp and everything until the first week. Then he won't be in the building. Then he's back when the team flies to Dublin to play a game in London. This places a lot on the backs of Jalen Naylor, TJ Hockenson, Josh Oliver, and really the run game. I mean, those guys and that group are going to have to cover for a receiver who's just incredibly talented. And I mean, it's been interesting to just watch and observe Jordan Addison, and it hasn't been like the most crisp training camp, but you wonder how much mentally that's weighed on him.
Weighs,
so there's pressure on a lot of different facets and groups to be able to cover in that first 3 weeks.
Sure. All right, Alec, good stuff. Appreciate it. We'll visit with you next week, hopefully, but enjoy the next 2 days. Thanks, buddy.
Looking forward to it. I will. Thank you, guys, and enjoy the weekend.
We will. Alec Lewis from The Athletic back in just a minute here on Drive Time.